Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to the Thinker Girls Pod Channel. I'm Stacey June.
And I'm Christy Mercer. Hello, hello. Welcome to our little square of the world.
Oh, yeah. We're recording in somewhere a little bit different today, but it's none of your business.
Nah, we'll fill you in soon. No,
but
seriously.
But it could sound different to the interview that we're just about to introduce.
Well, typically, we're in the podcast studio / your house.
Yeah, we're external today.
We're
on the street.
We're not in the street. We're not in your house.
No.
I will say it's less cozy.
Yeah, look,
I feel less of an ability to kick my shoes off.
I'm into it. I feel more boss-like.
Is that why you're wearing like a white blazer?
Yes.
Yeah, he's got a power suit on today, yes. Guys. So no fucking about.
Dress code, yeah. We are going to introduce Hannah and Eliza Riley, who you may know from ABC's Growing Up Graciously, where we essentially found, how did we find these girls? I think my husband actually was like, you need to see these chicks on the ABC. They're doing some incredible stuff. And I watched an episode and went, fuck, we're in a good time.
Yeah, the chicks have done radio. They've for years and years. They're very big advocates for community radio. Mm-hmm, that's how mm-hmm. they kind of got their start. A really interesting way in which they were brought up. They are not twins, yet they were kind of brought up in that way.
Yeah, well, their mum just put them in the same year, so it was easier for her. Anyway, you'll hear about it in the interview.
They do lots of different stuff. They write together. They've just come off the back of doing a live show together. Mm-hmm. Lots of different stuff with the ABC and things in the works too for future projects.
Yeah, they're off seeing Reese Witherspoon's company. You know, they're killing it. And they have done an incredible online series called Sheila's, which we will put in show notes and talk more about in the chat that we have with the girls.
Yep, you can find them at Eliza.Riley on Insta or Hannah May Riley. The May's thrown me.
I was about to do an edit note for our producer.
Keep that in time.
Okay. Enjoy the chat, everyone.
Bye for now.
Hannah and Eliza Riley, welcome to the Thinker Girls Pod Channel.
Thank you so much for having us.
So excited.
What's going on? How are you?
Oh, beyond excited to be here, actually.
So good. I'm on the tail end of a cold at the moment, so sorry if I sound a little bit like Fran Drescher.
Because that means that's Hannah.
Yes.
And then
good.
The other less nasal voice.
Yes.
The healthy, Eliza.
The vibrant.
I mean, it's going to be good for people listening, but also good for... We're shocking with names. What are you girls like?
So is our mum.
Yeah. Stacey?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, good. Don't
project our rough stuff onto them.
Yeah, I love that you were so conscious that we wouldn't know your names at your own podcast that you did that. We're here. We're in Thinker Girls HQ.
Okay, great. Very happy
to be here.
There's a fluoro light here, so we're good.
Stacey, Rebecca, thanks so much for having us.
Thank you. Jeez.
Rebecca with a K. Thank you. It's interesting because working together is something that I suppose... You think that there might be a possibility when you're younger. Like I thought my cousin and I, we were 18, would move out. You know, there were these plans. None of it happened, you know. Like we really need a good couple of weeks even in between contact. We have good amounts of block times and then we need some space. But did you have a plan? Like was it a younger thing or did it kind of happen as you actually realised, hey, we can also be mates as adults?
Honestly, it was like no one else was willing to work with us and so we had to just sort of turn to our own family. No, there was no arrangement or plan or anything between us. We kind of started off on different paths. Like Eliza studied as an actor. She's a thespian.
Love.
At acting school. I studied like media and production and so we kind of had this different set of skills and then I don't know, we did radio together for years and I think that's kind of how we started working together, making comedy.
It's really because everyone else wanted us to work together, really. It was more people going, hey, I think you two would be a good match to make something, or yeah. And then it just sort of, we haven't been out of work ever since, really.
So when no, that's bloody, when, that's
working. Yeah,
so
yeah.
When you joined forces, it seemed to, things started to kind of...
Yeah, and I think that people... You know, just like the Veronicas before us, you know, there's a big Australian market for sisters. I don't know. It was kind of like our...
We're a freak show, basically.
We're an Australian market
but we hold hands like 100% less than the
Chrissy
Veronicas.
Chrissy's thinking, she's like, how can I get my sister to do backup?
There's no fucking way I could work with my sister. Yeah. I love her, but I'm like, no. But on that, it's so interesting because people often will say that, how do you, like with Stace and I think things are different now than they were over the last 2 years. When we were doing radio, it was literally like 16-hour days together and still at the end of a day to be like, oh, shit, I forgot to tell you. Like, yeah. I've never had that relationship with anybody and I can't picture ever having that relationship with somebody in that there's this real ability to kind of have that work relationship but also that friendship but also that sisterhood and you can kind of compartmentalize each. How do you go with that? Are you just like, can we just like have a drink on a Saturday and tap out of work chat, or it's you don't really have to think about it that
well,
much?
Well, it's exact. We share the same friendship group as well. Like we have like the very close, we've always had close because we went to the same high school and we're in the same year at high school.
So
Well,
our mum was super smart and she was like, I'm not doing 2 HSCs. I am not doing 2 Saturday soccer games. So she just put me the year above and it was just like, you're twins.
But how many months are you apart?
13.
I love
Shit. Your mum is smart.
Yeah. Mum is
smart.
So smart.
Mum is also great.
Yeah.
So talk to us about when you first went to school. Was there an understanding that you were ready to go to school and mum was like, nah, babes, we'll hold you back
to
our long time.
No, I loved, like, I didn't really want to go to school, like, by myself. It was so big and scary. And I loved my mum so much and family home. I was so, like, separation anxiety
vibes.
So you
very much grew up as twins, though.
Mum just shoved us together.
My husband's a twin and he changed. He went to a different school in high school and changed back to... the less smart school because he wanted to be with his brother. So it is interesting when you say that, you're like, nah, the party's actually here. I'm happy to sit back and wait.
It's so true. Yeah. And I think that, well, just, it was just sort of I'm actually the older one by 13 months, but I got no privileges. I got no separate bedtimes, no separate anything. There was sort of, like,
I just cruised on in.
There was none of this, really.
You got the good deal.
I know.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. Totally.
Hannah just
got, you can
got
see it in your
an
eye.
Extra year. Hannah just got, like, she's like daylight savings, but for life.
Yeah.
So basically, she's living her life a year younger, but with a year more experience.
Oh, that's stunning.
Yeah, really good.
Thanks,
guys.
And so it was interesting because you both studied different things, so it's a quite a natural occurrence for those skill sets to stand up. But it also seems that you're in a very natural role place from an early age, right? That you kind of play this, you kind of play that. Are there parts to yourself that you push down because the other does, and that gets a little bit, not pushed down as in a bad way, but more just get maybe a bit lazy or a floppy arm over here because you're not flexing those muscles?
Yeah, I think like with any relationship, you can fall into patterns where one person's doing more of one thing and another person's doing more of another thing. Would you say that's right?
I would actually respectfully disagree. Because I think that if anything, it's asked us to step up to the other person's skill set. Mm. So say Hannah studied directing and production and writing. Mm. And so when we started making television and content together, I really had to step up and learn how to navigate that workflow of directing a crew of 20 and how to work with a cinematographer. So I felt like I had to step up and vice versa.
Rather than lean just completely.
No. We do everything kind of equally. And in the same place, Hannah really had to step up and learn how to work with actors and how to get the best performance out and how to kind of work on camera as well.
Yeah, like we recently did a musical at a theatre in Sydney.
Tell us, can you tell us
about
it?
Belvoir Street.
Oh, yeah, it was called Yarramadoon, and it was based on the sort of semi-rural town where we grew up. And it was kind of like... It was a comedy musical with Eliza and I playing all the parts. It was completely bonkers. And I'd never done a theatre show before, and Eliza's done tons. And I had to learn everything from Eliza of like how it worked. And every day I would absolutely be shitting myself and like before a performance and just wake up from like dawn to dusk. I just wake up going like, fuck, I have to do a show tonight. And I really had to rely on Eliza for ways of like getting through that. And also just theatre etiquette and how to run, because we were directing it as well, like running a performance room and what everyone's different roles mean. And yeah, it was this entirely new process that I had no idea about.
But I feel like, to agree with you as well, Stacey, we do have a lot of personal, this is not like sort of like business skill sets, but personal skills that say that we really rely on one another to do. Say, like, I can do the really good soft touch. So if I need to call someone when we're producing and really try and that angle, it'll be like, Eliza, you're making that call. Or if Hannah really needs to put foot down and put boundaries up, I'm like, Hannah, can you please make that call?
I'm an Aries, she's a Pisces.
Yeah, but there's a real understanding of who does what best.
Yes. Yeah.
And sitting in that teacher and student by the sounds of it too, and not being too, because I think I think sometimes, especially with siblings, that can happen. Whereas the older one, it's like, well, regardless of whether you're better at it or not, you kind of sit in that, well, I know what's best.
I think it's an ongoing process of learning from the person that you're working with.
And what a privilege, though. You know, if you can let the ego go, it's such a privilege that you can learn from people you love as opposed to paying millions of dollars to someone to teach you. You know?
Yeah, I think we have. We are very competitive and strong, and we do have a lot of like passion and ego when it comes to our work, but not really between us, because when you're, say, doing filmed content, you're working with a lot of people from different departments that are helping you make your vision.
Yes.
And so it really, sort of, how dare you bring an ego into a room when actually everyone's there for you? And so you really need to have a strong vision between the two of you, so that you can both go away and feel like that the other one has
executed.
So we have a lot of like, it just won't work. It doesn't work if the sort of the captains are feeling like they're weak between each other.
So speak to that a little bit when you say your vision. Obviously, you guys have done so many different bits and pieces separately and together. And as you say, you've never been out of work since you've been working together. So it's working. But I wonder, do you guys sit down, or have you in the past and gone, what are our brand values? Who are we? What do we do? What do we achieve? Because I think there's an element of that being important, right? And then there's also an element of it going with the flow. But do you have those kind of conversations or ideas in the back of your mind when you're saying yes or no to projects? What are they?
With everything that we make, no matter how silly or broad the work is comedically, it always has to have its heart in the right place.
You can see that.
We are all for like comedy for comedy's sake, but just for the stuff that we make, it always needs to come from somewhere that's true or that isn't exploitative or
when we're going through, say, a challenging experience, we do have a company value, Hannah, where we quote one of our favorite movies when we're really, really at the edge. We always say to one another, she's beauty, she's grace, she's Miss United States from Miss Congeniality. And that always sort of calms us down to be like, beauty, grace, Miss United States, you know, like always.
It's basically push your feelings down and cry about it later.
Cry about it in the toilet like a normal person.
Yes.
But yeah, so we do have that. I always say that in my head, be like, she's beauty, she's grace, she's Miss United States. And that just thinking. I think we think about things in terms of when we're going through a challenge, of just thinking of it in terms of like a year or like 100 years, to be like, will I really care about this in a year or 100 years? It's probably true. I need to have a path that is supposed to be nice and supportive and courteous, and everyone's trying to do the right thing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot,
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So let's go back to when everyone was saying you should work together, you should work together, you should work together. What was the first kind of step?
Radio. We worked in community radio on a station called FBI. So we started working there when we were in high school.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. We did a show together called Girls Gone Mild.
With an M.
Regret the name, but that's fine. And that was really fun. It was
either that or Two Girls, One Mic.
And community radio was so much fun because they basically let you do whatever the fuck you want. And we really did. And that was amazing. And we did that for a few years. And then we were heard by an executive from ABC, and they're like, you want to make TV? And we're like, yes, please. And so we pitched a bunch of ideas, one of which was Growing Up Gracefully, and that sort of was in development limbo at the ABC for a few years. Then we kind of...
Oh my God, so talk to us. How many years?
5 years, I think.
Yeah. It's important for people to know that, yeah. And we like to hear it because...
Yeah.
Yeah, doesn't just happen out of nowhere.
Yeah, so what is the process there for people playing? Because I think, you know what...
I would pay to know.
One thing that... but I mean for you. So you hear once a year, you go in and do... Like, how does it work? At one point you go, okay, we're going to pay you to develop a pilot, like... How did it work for you?
Well, we can only speak to our experience, but the big sort of headliner is it really depends who's working there at that time and how it...
isn't just for the ABC. This is often a process with getting any kind of television project.
Oh, sure. We're more talking about the process of, like, it depends on the producer that you're working with as well, like, what their process is.
Yeah, and development limbo, you can get stuck in development limbo, which... If you sort of haven't heard of that term, it's where, like, you have an idea that there's yeses all around you. Everyone's saying, yes, 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 the idea, we're going to make it. But then you could be in it for a year, up to 10 years, like 15 years. Some people don't ever get out of it. It's a very sort of making television or making sort of big content that requires funding or requires a lot of energy behind it is something that is very... It has to do with the climate, and I am so, I think you are too, Hannah, maybe, like, so glad that it actually had those 5 years of limbo, because we were not ready to make that show when we pitched it, when we were, like, 19 and 20, and I'm so glad that we actually had that time to grow. And
well, as an outsider, right, like, looking at when we saw the show, and I remember seeing it and watching it on the TV with my partner who works at the ABC, and was saying, you need to watch this show.
Oh, that's
and
amazing.
I watched it and was like, oh, my God, yes! But it was so ready. You can tell it was so ready, there was a real... I get goosebumps thinking about it because I can relate to the process, but also just I like hearing stories about when things come to fruition when they're supposed to give the punch it needs.
Yep.
And the timing of the political climate and where we were in this country was also very, very, very prevalent at the time your content started coming through. So 5 years, I just wonder whether it would have packed the punch that it needed.
Yeah, totally. And
because the content was there, but the audience, was everyone ready?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think so as well. And it was also a great lesson for us in terms of creating things to just sort of hand something over and then move on. Like, you've just got to move, like, if it's out of your hands, you've just got to start thinking about what you want to do next and creating something else.
If you're in development limbo, if you're like, wow, I sold a show to a major network in Australia, just forget about it, move on, and, like, make other work. Because we made and came up with Sheila's, the project that just was released this month, we made it and thought about it in the time that our other project was in limbo.
Yeah, so it all worked out.
Yeah, when we got the email pretty much out of the blue saying it had been greenlit, Eliza and I kind of just like went grey and we're like, oh my God.
What was the idea?
It honestly took us about 3 months to get the courage to read what we'd submitted because we're like, what TV show?
But babes, what was the experience right before then? Like, so you hadn't heard from the ABC for how long since getting that email to be like, yo girls, you're approved?
Well, it was kind of like bits here and there of like, oh, things might be happening, but that had been going on for so many years that we're like, whatever, like, okay.
Honestly, you just sort of, it's out of your hands and you just do other work. You just get to work. You can't wait by the phone. And we were already shooting another project when we got, we shot the pilot of Sheila's and then had to leave Sheila's for a year.
But honestly, in that 5 years after we pitched it, we were getting the life experience that we needed to be in the show.
Mm. Yeah, we were falling in and out of love. We were doing brave stuff. We were
fucking up in various ways.
Yeah, so it's not kind of... when you say it in the terms of like, oh, it's just sitting on the shelf, it's sort of like a plant. Like when it needs watering, you go over, give it a bit of water, and then you walk away. And then you come back to it and nurture it a bit more, and then you walk away. It's sort of, it's not really that sort of, you're not sitting there waiting for it to happen.
It's very entrepreneurial to have that approach from the beginning. I think a lot of people learn that approach once they experience the potential timelines that are very different to the way people predict the picture to be. So you walk into whether it's an IT app or a television show or something and you've got an idea, you think, this is it, I'm going to sell it, and then I'm going to make money from it, and then it's going to be my job, because I've put all this work into it, therefore I deserve that result. It's not the reality for most, and it also is interesting that you were very graceful in learning that process quickly, because I think a lot of people fight that process for a while. So when you say that you weren't and fell in love, and you worked together, but then also did other work separately and had different relationships,
what did we do? You were still in drama school.
Oh yeah, I was actually still in. We were both still at university when we pitched it, and both still doing radio.
Yeah, and then when we finished uni, I started working.
You did the hookup, yeah?
Oh yeah. Was that before?
That was Sunday night.
That was during while we were shooting Growing Up Gracefully.
Yeah, yeah. So I went and worked at the ABC as like a writer and director on like The Checkout and a bunch of the Chaser shows.
I was doing a bunch of acting and
theater, and then started The Hookup, which was kind of during Growing Up Gracefully as well. And that was intense doing that
in Growing Up Gracefully
at the same time. And then we wrote Sheila's and it's just sort of... And
you kept busy.
Yes.
Yeah, just I would really invite for anyone in the same position, just keep busy. And it will just happen to you and you won't really have a choice, but sort of, so if it's out of your hands, it's out of your hands and just let it come back to you when it needs to.
And I think you can apply, really, but you can apply that not just to this industry, but anything.
That's what I mean.
Yes, exactly.
And not just work stuff, but anything. Especially, you know, relationships or friend, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. There is an element that is completely out of your control.
Yeah. If you just keep working really hard at things that you love, something amazing is going to happen. That's sort of... like a bit, I don't really believe in fate or anything, but it's kind of, it just happens that way. It's going to happen at the right time.
Do you love about your lives that there is an element of flow and versatility, that you do different projects with different people, so there's an element of it never getting stale? Because I feel like people like you guys, similar to us, that are constantly, you know, coming up with ideas and creative, curious souls, have this constant, incessant need to be doing and creating, and it's cool to wear different hats and put on different dress-ups.
It's absolutely... I think the biggest privilege of our work, because it goes in spikes, and say when you are having a gig that has to account for maybe your next 6 months that you're not working or so-and-so, I think the real privilege is the people that you're able to work with. We're really lucky in the past that we've actually been able to choose who we work with and surround ourselves with people who are amazing. And that's the kind of... it's a weird sort of gypsy-esque crowd of people who work in media or people who are storytellers, essentially, because you just all sort of are just... all wanting to put your heart on the line and work really hard, but then you'll all be at the pub at the daytime on a Wednesday for no reason because you all don't have jobs.
Nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go. And you don't know where your next gig is coming from.
Yeah.
Like that is sort of such a strange and amazing way to live, that you do the job, you put your heart on the line, and then it ends and you're in free fall.
I get this real sense that you're kind of like okay in and comfortable in sitting in the okay, let's do this and then we'll see what happens, you know, in yep. that real like acceptance of what the industry is and knowing that, you know, your next creative idea you might not have had yet.
Yep.
But are there things that you like to have a vision board? Like, are there things that you go, we want to kick this in the dick? Like, or if we did this, this would be life giving, or this is the plant, this is
Can you tell us what you're doing overseas or not?
Yeah, yeah, we can. Well, so basically for us and it really, we have ideas that are bigger sort of all the time. We have about 3 or 4 projects on the go sort of at any one time, and they're at different stages, and that allows us to have a bit of security of, you know, if one balloon comes down, you can knock the other one up. Mm. And that can take over years, but basically it really depends on the market and what people who can help us make our work can do. So it's really about keeping your eyes and ears open to really listen to other people and listen to what you can give them and what mm-hmm. how you can solve their problems with content. So say Growing Up Gracefully was perfect because the station at the time were really passionate about intergenerational content, like grandmas can watch it with their granddaughters. And they were also really passionate about getting sort of diversity and women's voices on screen. So that's a partnership that we have to strategize to be like, well, I think that this idea is perfect for you now. And Sheila's was Screen Australia, is fully funded by Screen Australia. And they were really passionate about a web series. So we were like, well, we're going to design an idea for a web series and that are passionate about female-led and female-driven stories. So Sheila's was made. So it is a tandem, and production companies will come to us and say, hey, we've got this idea, but I think we need you to help us in some way. So it's a tandem. Mm. Is that answering a question in terms of...
Yeah, because I think in the end, it might be that you put an idea out and it goes, but it's not going. You just happen to proactively be creating
to
look after yourself.
You have to think about what stories need to be told at what time and what time you think. So there's ideas that we have on our mood board or on our slate that we know maybe we'll make in 10 years or 15 years or are definitely sort of thinking.
But when do you get that skill set, right? So we, you know, we heard before, Hannah, you were saying that I don't believe in fate or those types of things, but there's got to be a flex of your intuition that you use quite heavily.
It's just, I think it's a team sport, and it's really about helping people that will inevitably help you do your job.
But how do you find that decision making with the timing? So say you've got an idea there and you're like, that's for then. What kind of skill set within yourself are you using to be able to identify what's a good time and what's not a great time?
These are really good questions, ladies. Very good.
I think the way that I'm often drawn towards projects is through, I guess, instinct matched with what's happening in your context at the time, because you've always got, like, as I'm sure you guys know as a creative person, you've always got ideas bubbling around in the back of your head, but they will often be sparked by a moment in your life or a moment in, you know, our current climate where you think, oh, this is perfect for now.
Yeah.
And so it's,
well, why haven't I seen this before?
Yeah, that's often where our stuff has come from. Yeah.
Why haven't we seen this? This is so
driver for me.
Yeah, really?
It's like seeing a gap in the market.
Well, I go looking for something and I can't find it.
Yeah.
And I go, right.
That's a gap in the market for sure.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Well, we call it sort of this sort of like low-hanging fruit analogy that you're like, why hasn't it? It's right there. It's going to go rotten and fall on the ground. Like, am I going to do it? And you're looking around, always, especially as women, you're looking around for
someone
else. Why hasn't someone done this? It must be the wrong thing, or just be able to pluck it and go, yep, that's mine.
And well, you're kind of taught that, I think, anyway, that there's like, I don't know, that idea where it's like, if it hasn't been done, there's a reason why, because there's only a very set amount of limited jobs, especially as a chick in the industry, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a quote on the back of the door that you'll see as we close it behind your asses.
You slam it.
But it's something, again, I don't know what it is, but it's something about, idea, you know, someone's going to do it if you're not. Like, someone's going to pick the fruit.
Yep.
It doesn't apply just to this industry too. You know, you're going to find a gap or something in what you're doing that you needed or you want and you know how to do it. Fucking go for it.
And don't you reckon there's such power in... I've been thinking about this a lot lately. There's such power in being in the flow of action. Like, it's
what
one,
do you mean?
You're not even sure whether the idea's fully cooked yet, but you kind of just figure it out as you go along, which is like life. But when, you know, like you said, that project, when you began 5 years ago, it was X and it ended up being, you know, this at the end. And if you weren't in the flow 5 years ago of starting it, even when you weren't ready, you know, it would never have gotten to the end point. So I think there's one thing to sit down and think strategically about what do I need to do? What do I want to do? And it's a complete other and more powerful thing just to start doing it, even if it's wrong or you're not sure, it takes on another form.
Or on that doing something else to keep energy moving.
Yep. You know what I mean? There's so a flow and then one person sees you do this and then you connect with this person and then, you know, like there's something in the action of actually doing it.
Do you guys get asked for advice much from people about
not
getting
really
into the industry?
Oh, well, yeah, we do. But do people wouldn't ask me. Yeah, I'd be like, no. Yeah, we get asked. People are really... We have a really amazing group of people that sort of chat to us all the time on our Facebook page or our Instagram that are always sort of connecting with us. But yeah, they do, because it just seems like such a myth.
It is.
It is such a...
Gretel Colleen talks about that a lot too.
It really
the same
is.
Same idea as a lot of people don't talk about the processes with this
stuff.
No,
and I think that, bless us, I think that Australia has, especially in its entertainment or its media industry, a lot of... Or as a culture, really scarcity thinking as opposed to abundancy thinking. Mm. There's a lot of that's my plate and I'm not going to let you get to it because you'll eat my food and then
the
I won't.
The industry's so small.
But it really is, it's not like, and I think that that's, is a really a hard thing to penetrate. I really try and use my sort of tools or my learning in abundance. It just sort of, if anyone sort of, I would just, it's really hard. If you are someone like me or Hannah, where you're sort of, you want to create ideas and you want to storytell as opposed to maybe sort of like a really specific skill set, I would just create work and not judge how you get that out.
Yeah.
So a lot of, we were at FBI for like six or seven, a community radio station for 6 or 7 years, doing like all-nighters and doing community theater, and just as long as you're making people will it's not anyone's job to come to you and they will just find you if you were creating. It's just about really, really not judging your work, just working, just putting your head down. And yeah, people really don't care about you as much as you think people care about you. So just put your head down and work, kind of thing.
I think the thing that's helped Eliza and I as well is finding people who we want to learn from and just finding a way to be around them when they work. You know, we spent a lot of time during our university years working for free, interning, writing for free. And there's an important... place to know, like there's an important time when to know when to stop doing that.
Yeah.
But at first, I think if you can find any way to form connections with the people who you would like to be in the industry with and learn from, that's such a valuable thing.
What would you both say about someone wanting to advise about how to maybe get in, or if people approach you with advice?
I think I'm the same with Merce in that. Oh, well, I have given this advice where it's do it. Just get, like, you need to do it, because I'm a believer in energy too. So I think if things are moving, then things will move. If things are stagnant, things won't move. It's actually simple energy, like simple chemistry, whatever, science.
Yeah.
Where I think if, you know, there's energy around movement, regardless if it's creative or you want to shift something, then it's more likely that something's going to happen if there's a doing involved as opposed to a sitting and contemplating.
I think that, and also like goes hand in hand with that. You don't have to know what the end game is. You know, like often we're, and I think that's kind of projected in this society anyway, where it's like, you know, we're all kind of reading books on, you know, being, which I think is so great, but like being the boss and creating your reality. And sometimes I get a bit like, afraid or a bit like, oh, I don't know what the end part is. I don't know what the picture is. And I think for a long time I felt a little bit insecure in that because I'm like, well, I know what I'm doing now, but, you know, my mate's got a 5-year plan and I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years. And that freaked me the fuck
out. I'm totally the same. I've never had like a 5-year plan or even like a 1-year plan.
To go with the flow of the action thing, you don't necessarily always need to know where it will end. Just the action of doing it, I think, can lead to things you that are bigger than you ever could have thought possible.
I think it also comes down to your definition of success. You know what I mean? Is your definition of success being the next Richard Branson, or is your definition of success just being able to pay your rent by doing something that you love? And I think...
And that changes, you know, thinking about me, even thinking about having kids changes that again.
Yes,
you
yes.
know? Like, I think about, well, what do I want to achieve to be able to have that very inclusive in my life, not kind of all work, all, you know, how do I then build and create around having all of those things in abundance in one picture, as opposed to work over here, family over here, food and health over here, you know, like these sections.
And it's, just one more, if somebody, say, like we did today, said, oh, people can't get in touch and contact us and start a conversation, actually probably call them on that. And, like, if they're saying, you know, like, we'll all be like, get in touch, or let's have a chat, or if you're keen, you know, and some people do that, some people aren't into it, but actually take the strength to say, like, hi, I'm, you know, I'm just graduating uni, or I'm a mom and I've always wanted to do this and now I don't have any idea about how to, or something like that. You know, actually, you know, I would have loved to have had people just sort of like on Instagram or just like on their Facebook page that you can actually talk to them and you can actually get in touch and contact them.
Yeah, rather than stalking their email address, trying to guess what the end after the at is.
Write them like, a letter in the post, like, or whatever. It's actually, you have that resource and you're kind of a dum-dum for not at least utilising it and saying hi. And if they don't answer back, that's on
Because not very many people do.
No, it's so not.
Like, there's an
so,
ability to connect.
Yes.
And I'm not saying you're like every person that might be able to help you is going to read your DM and respond.
Yeah, yeah.
With something helpful. But I think because there's such an ability to, it means that everybody thinks that everybody else is doing it, so no one does it.
Yeah. Don't you reckon? Well, there's that great anecdote of like Troy Sivan writing an email to Tom Ballard, and when he was like a tiny little teenager, and then Troy Sivan kept going up to Tom Ballard over the years being like, you never replied to my email, you do it, and then they finally got a discourse, and now Tom Ballard I think wishes he hung under those coattails a little bit more. But it's sort of that
Troy Sivan, you didn't answer my email.
It absolutely but also there is something about declaring like, hi, my name's Eliza and I want to do this and you do that and I don't know how, like, there's something even about just declaring that privately is something that makes you go like, oh, maybe I do.
Yeah.
I do want that.
And there's a thrill. Yeah. There's a real thrill that you get from it. I think often people feel that thrill
from
that
scene.
freak. Like, but I think a lot of people think that freak, and there is a bit of fear, of course there is, you're putting yourself out there, but don't let that fear or that freak make you think it's the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I think when people get that nerve, it's often, definitely I've learned along many years, is that freak is actually what we should be aiming for a bit, you know, a little bit of out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
But don't be a freak. Like, when you message them, just like, make sure you're not being a freak.
I would avoid voice memos as normal as possible.
Cause that's the fear. That's the fear, getting that, like getting those emails and being like, let's help this person. Who are they?
Yeah, if you've gone into a Google hole with them, you don't need to tell them that you know their cat's
name.
And on that note, the most sound piece of advice from all of the fucked up Oprah quotes, don't be afraid. Don't be
afraid. I believe that's a direct quote from Oprah.
HannahandElizaRiley.com is your website. We can check out everything you're doing, all of your different projects coming through, all of the ones that are in your brain on pieces of paper, wherever else they are sitting parked. And we can follow you guys on Insta, Eliza.Riley and Hannah Riley on Insta. Slide in there, why don't you?
Yeah, get in there.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's been such a pleasure. Thanks
for your time. Thanks, guys. The Thinker Girl thepodcast.com.au is where you can find all of the podcast shows, all of the different articles featuring our guests and posse members and all the content that Christy and I bring on a weekly basis. It is the place where everything is kept. thethinkergirls.com.au. This podcast is presented by Stacey June and Christy Mercer. It's also produced by me, Stacey June, and produced and edited by Jordan Lott.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.